2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling. Triple M's Dead Set Legends is back.
The world is watching.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
And I thought I was a bit of a legend.
Triple M footy newsbreaker Jay Clark.
I might do this show nude.
And horse racing royalty Emma Friedman.
What's wrong with you two?
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends. We're talking sport and footy for your Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us and good morning to Jay and Joey.
Yes, good morning, Em.
Morning, Em.
We really should come up with something intelligent or clever for those stingers, shouldn't we?
We need to work on something. We do get a chuckle out of them, don't we?
Well, the legend one was from last week. Let's not forget that because you were talking about how you had your arthroscope.
Well, we were talking about players that rushed back for round one, Emma, yes. And I think we got proven right. The few of the Melbourne players rushed back. How did they go?
Zachy Merritt
came back. Tom Lynch, it was one of the worst three-goal performances I saw in round one of Tommy Lynch. He was rusty. He was better on this Thursday, but the week before he was rusty, wasn't he?
Haven't you turned since you come over to the media side? He was no good.
He was rusty. But so we spoke about the round one injuries, and I did say that I did rush back one year and thought I was a legend, and back thought I was a bit of a legend.
Where did you watch the footy on Thursday night? It was a good game. I really enjoyed Thursday night.
Richmond Collingwood. I don't want to name drop, but I went to Scotty Camp's house, actually. He hosted, as you can imagine, Jay. He's got a nice little setup in the backyard of this beautiful entertaining area with a big screen TV and a beer fridge, and he put on some pies. And he's not really an AFL man, though, Scotty Camp. He's from Sydney, of course, so he's a Sydney Roosters man, but he was nice enough to put it on for a few of us from the Port Melbourne Bowls Club, where he has an occasional beer, and, it was good fun.
That's very nice indeed. I actually was up in Sydney last night and went to the SCG.
Oh, the buddy show.
Yes, well, your husband's a big Crows man.
Yeah, he is a big Crows man. And they were very nervous and very tense all throughout the four quarters, even though, you know, they pretty much led from go to woe. But, it was a tense night. And I think that's the last time we were at the SCG to go and watch the Crows as well, which was in April last year, you know, another win. So it's becoming a nice little ground for the Adelaide Crows.
What did you make of the buddy show, Em? Because he kicked those two guys. You just knew he was going to nail that set shot from the pocket. That is his zone. The confidence and the aura, the presence this man has in those moments is amazing.
Vibe? I can imagine the vibe at the SCG. Yeah. What's it like when Bud gets the ball?
And absolutely under pressure as well. All the fans are, you know he's got the ball and he's, you know, 25 out. You think he's going to do something absolutely special. The Crows fans, you know, they love to hate Buddy because of what he can put together. But at the same time, you know, after he kicks those couple from the pocket, they all stand up and go, well, you've just got to applaud that. It's just so good. It's just amazing. Yeah. He really is. I've had a good night and a good week. But, Jay, you've had a... sounds like you've had a rough one.
Massive setback, Em. Fair dinkum. I lost my wallet. I left it on the train at Southern Cross. The next half an hour, we've got to scramble to cancel all your cards. You know, my wife's going nuts on the other end of the line. She's sort of saying, trying to help get me organised. And look, that sort of stuff isn't my forte. And it's just a shocking, sinking feeling. I had a big knot in my stomach as I, you know, the doors of the shut of the train shut. And I was already out of it. And I touched my empty pocket and you just knew. So, look, it's been a bit of a mad scramble. It hasn't been a great start to my Saturday morning, to be honest, gang. But I think I've sorted it all now. And, I need
to get rid of these cancelled the cards, though?
Yeah, I had to, straight away.
What's your thoughts? Yeah, I don't know. You could put paws on them, can't you? That's probably not the technical term from the banks.
I'm a bit naive. I wait. I think maybe someone finds the wallet on the train and then gets in touch with you and says, Jay Clark, I found your wallet with all your cards still in it.
Well, if the good people at Metro are listening, I'm sure they are. If they do see my wallet, which bobs up, can you just send it back here to Triple M? In fact, no, I'll come down there. I just picture some guy finding it or whatever and heading off to Freedom and buy a $2,000 outdoor setting or whatever with my dad.
I doubt you go to Freedom. I don't think you're walk out with anything from Freedom.
I don't know.
Probably the bottle shop or something like that. Load up. That's
I found a wallet. Let's go buy some chairs.
Let's go buy some couches.
Well, if you do find Jay Clark's wallet, yeah, how much cash is in there? Is there much cash?
There's plenty.
There was $1 in there. So.
No way.
There was $1.
You can't even buy yourself a can of Coke with that nowadays. Return it to Triple M in South Melbourne. Hey, today we're going to preview the AFLW Grand Final tomorrow with the sensational Crows taking on the Blues. Our Sydney assistant coach Stevie Johnson will take us through last night's game against the Crows. Not a terrific night for the Swans.
Jenkins loads up. It'll need a monster bomb. That'll do. What a time. There's a mark taken. It is going to take one of the great bombs in the history of football. 75 metre tall.
It's the seed.
He gets onto a big, big, huge torpedo.
Jeez.
Paul Seedman has launched a massive bomb at the SCG.
That is incredible.
I can't believe it, but he's kicked
it. Look at that kick from Franklin.
No.
That is a miracle. That is one of the best goals that you'll see.
Jenkins bursts through, sends a big bending spiral. Wow. What a reply. It's going to be a 50-metre job. Tucked up on the boundary line. Left forward pocket. Oh, what about the kick? What about that? He is as good as it gets, Buddy Franklin. There's the siren. And well done to the Adelaide Crows. 26-point winners over the Swans at the SCG.
Some great work from the Triple M commentary team there, but the first win for the Crows is for the season, as we just heard. You both had the Crows in your top eight and you had Sydney in your bottom eight. Is that, well, the bottom half of the draw, is that fair?
I actually had the Crows to win the premiership. Threw it out there as a bit of a smoky, and I did have Sydney sliding. So I'm pretty confident, Jay, the Swans will continue to slide. Just the way they've played their first 2 weeks. And Adelaide bounced back into form and a lot the way they went about it.
Yeah, I thought Adelaide were morals last night. I was surprised that they were outsiders. So we capitalise on that occasionally just from time to time, Joey. But they just look a bit sort of older and slower through the midfield, don't they, Sydney? And Buddy still, well, he was electric at times, but you do question the preparation that he's had. So I don't have Sydney in my top eight, I think, as we said a few weeks ago, and good for the Crows to get back on track.
Yeah, let's talk about Mason Cox, though. The Collingwood big man has been handed a one-match ban from the MRO after his fourth quarter bump on Richmond's Dylan Grimes on Thursday night. Because it was assessed in the end as, quote, intentional conduct with low impact and high contact. Wow, this has really got the footy world talking.
It's not only Collingwood fans furious with this. I reckon the whole footy public is up in arms because we've probably all seen the incident by now, and there doesn't really look to be much in it, to be honest. I mean, Dylan Grimes goes down like a sack of potatoes, and it really does seem like a gentle brace, really, from Mason Cox. And look, Collingwood will challenge this. They'll challenge it on all three components. Was it an intentional act? Well, I reckon you could argue that. Did he hit him in the head? I can't even tell by the camera angles whether there was any contact to the head. And the force, well, it has triggered the low impact clause, but I reckon even that's questionable. What's really key here, Joey, before I go to you, is that the Richmond medical report could have a massive say in whether Mason Cox is suspended next week, because if that confirms that the Richmond doctors were or suspected that Dylan Grimes had concussion symptoms or were checked in for concussion, then that would suggest that there was some force in the blow, and only the Richmond medical team and Dylan Grimes will know that. So it'll go to the tribunal on Tuesday night, and that will be the absolute key item.
Yeah, it is. The first point I want to make, did you see Hugh Greenwood's tweets?
Yes.
It was on the Triple M. I saw it on Triple M Instagram page where he said, "I've seen Mason Cox set harder screens on a basketball court," which I legitimately agree. I think he has. That's why this, I'm not sure about this system, whether it's right, because you can, as you just said, argue it was minimal high contact to the head and it was minimal force.
Yep.
Yet they grade it, well, there technically was force because he technically might have had a tiny bit of concussion symptoms. He technically touched his chin, so it's got to be assessed as high. You've just got to go more by the eye test with this. And I think the pub test. And I think people generally are up in arms because you shouldn't be missing a game of football for an incident like that. It's a free kick. Yeah, it blocked him off the ball. It's a free kick. That's it.
Yep.
Maybe a fine if they want to try and make a bit of a statement about we want to stop this sort of stuff happening off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly not getting a one-game suspension, and certainly not when you compare it to what Dylan Grimes went and did a few minutes later with an intentional elbow to Jamie Elliott's head, and they both get one game. I mean, you've just got to look at the pub test and say it's not right. I know it's a tough role that Michael Christian has, but they're the things I think where we've got to be a little bit more, just take a bit more of interpretation into it rather than trying to be so strict in following the rules.
Yep.
And hopefully that's why now you can challenge and go to the tribunal, because Collingwood can argue their case, and I would like to think he'll get off.
Up until the tribunal, and then afterwards there's going to be a lot of discussion about this, regardless of the result. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's going to be a massive talking, be the biggest talking point of the weekend probably, or certainly it was over the past 24 hours. I think people are going to interpret it too. This is a bit of a response from the AFL.
That's probably what you've got to be careful.
Because there were some lenient decisions last week, a couple of whacks off the ball, and they got away with fines. And then sure enough, massive reaction to that, and then sure enough, the first test case to come afterwards, and it's a real fitty-fitty one, and the AFL are probably gone overs. They've gone too hard. So look, Michael Christian is a great man. It is a difficult job, but I reckon he has had a fair dinkum mayor on this one, and I may have told him about that already.
Did you?
I sort of gave him some feedback.
It's a tough one when you're 7 foot tall, because literally, how is Mason Cox meant to block anyone's run without touching them high?
He's got to crouch down.
He's got to get on his knees. He literally has to get his knees. So you've got to take all that into consideration.
Yep.
The force wasn't enough to warrant a 1 week suspension.
Yeah.
Hopefully it gets sorted out.
Just quickly, Dylan Grimes, did he take a dive? Did he buckle at the knees? Because he's
like
a flopper.
He did look like he did. Throw the arms back and fall on the floor.
That doesn't help.
It doesn't help. Exactly right. And that's what I think has also upset a lot of fans.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. So you want to
be a champion? He goes with an outside of the boot banana. Chomps top of the square. Stevie!
He's having a shot at the boundary. Stevie J is bending. Oh, no, Stevie!
You can't have kicked from here. Lowers the eyes of the choppers. Oh, Stevie! Snap! Got their ball! Stevie!
50 seconds on the clock. High ball to full forward.
No, oh, Stevie J!
Many a career highlight for our next guest. It was a big night at the SCG last night, but not the result the Swans would have been hoping for. The Crows getting a 26-point win over Sydney, which now leaves the red and white without a win for the season thus far. And Sydney assistant coach Stevie Johnson, joins us on the line this morning to tell us all about it. Mate, a little disappointing for the group last night.
Yeah, it was. I'm just wondering whether I'm going to get that introduction every time I do it.
You can request it.
Yeah, no, it was disappointing. No side likes to start 0-2, and extremely disappointing round one. And we thought we fixed up some things that we focused on, but last night we just really suffered from a lack of polish, probably with our ball use and just the fundamental skills of the game, which let us down. So we're going to have to do some hard work during the week to bounce back and hopefully get a win on the board next week.
Stevie, I want to ask about, obviously, Buddy Franklin, and now you're coaching him in the forward line. First of all, how fit out of 100 would you say Buddy is at the moment, and how much fun is it to coach him and watch him play in the forward line?
Yeah, Joey, he's probably 70% fit at the moment, but the advice we're given from the fitness guys is that the risk, every week that he plays, the risk of, you know, injury lessens and he'll improve with match fitness. So week one, he was very rusty. We thought he looked really good last night, which is incredible based on the limited preparation that he's done so far. So he had a serious operation post-Christmas, probably only started running around properly a couple of weeks ago. So to do what he done last night was incredible. And, you know, when you're coaching him and he kicks those goals, it's a lot better when you're coaching him than playing against him, that's for sure.
And that was groin, wasn't it, Stevie? Was that Buddy's groin that he had the surgery?
Yeah, it was.
Can you just take us to... you were one of the greatest goal kickers, as we heard off the top, over the past 20 years. Do you and Buddy ever get together from that pocket at the SCG there and just have a Tuesday afternoon little shootout? I would love to see that.
Yeah, we do, Jay. Only as recent as Friday, I took $50 off him.
Did you? Oh, come on, Stevie.
He doesn't pay up. He should be taking me outside 50 metres and trying to get me to have shots from there, because I can't kick over a jam tin. But in the pocket, that's my go. So I'm up for a few coffees, but he doesn't pay up.
Oh, geez, stingy.
And you know what, guys? What would be even better than watching that, I reckon, would be listening to it. Honestly, the jibber-jabber that you guys would have happening throughout the little goal-kicking competition would be the best. The trash talk must flow.
Yeah, it does. It's underrated, his trash talk, actually. He doesn't mind talking himself up when he's comfortable around people. So, it's a bit of fun, and He carries a lot of the young forwards along with him. He provides real energy around the group with, you know, the way he's able to, you know, develop relationships and get guys enjoying their time at the footy club. That's been a real highlight coaching him.
In all seriousness, he's obviously one of the greats of the game. I think 920 goals he ticked over last night. What do you think when he has that set shot from that left-hand pocket? I mean, he kicked one sort of in play, amazingly, and then had the set shot. Everyone stood up in the crowd. What's going on? I know you've probably got other things to try and organise at the time, but you must be so confident when he lines up from that position.
Yeah, well, I think last week he had a shot from a similar spot, and through the week we said, you know, we still want guys to be looking to try and get a better shot selection. So continue to move. If Bud can hit a little 15-metre kick and we get a shot from closer in, that'd be great. But at times, you know, that just, you know, the time of the game, he knows, he understands it, and he knows when he's got to step up. And I think last night his kicking certainly was coming back. You could see that in the warm-up. So when he got that mark and took that big, deep breath, you just knew that he was confident, he's got that belief, and he's got the ability. So, you know, it doesn't surprise you. I've seen it so many times last year. And when you sit behind it, directly behind it in the coaching box, you just have to nod, shake your head, and in a bit of disbelief.
Have to admire his work. Hey, Stevie, last one before we let you go, mate. We know that when we retire from footy, we can overindulge a little bit on all the things we missed out on and put on a few kilos. I'm hearing a little whisper that maybe you might have been asked to drop a few kgs as an assistant coach. I'm lucky in radio, it doesn't really matter, but have you had to just lose a little bit of weight up in Sydney? Has that been a request?
No, there's no request there, Joey. There's no request, but Horse and I have got on the diet, the 16 and 8, and I've actually dropped 4 or 5.
So right.
That's where it's come from.
Oh.
And I could probably send that through to you, Joey. Yeah,
please, absolutely, Steve.
I was worried that I might be the player in our year, out of our year that retired, that might blow out the most, but I feel pretty happy with myself when I see you.
There's a few of us. Don't worry. Sammy Mitchell's put on a few too, I've seen. And Adam Schneider. There's plenty, Stevie. Oh, so don't worry. You're in good company, mate.
Confidence is key, Stevie.
I did see Adam Schneider on the big screen. He must have been doing the commentary for one of the radio stations, and Ty Connelly and Dean Cox and I, and we were looking up having a bit of a laugh. So
it's too good. Thanks for joining us, mate, and good luck next weekend when you face the Blues at Marvel Stadium on Saturday afternoon.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Em, fascinating chat with Stevie Johnson. We love having the characters of the game jump online. We get to see their personality. And, well, let's face it, Lance Franklin absolutely turned it on for a little bit of period in last night's game. We're talking about he just doesn't miss from that position. And our mate Stevie J says what? I've still got him. We had a goal-kicking competition.
Beat him only on Friday. Took the money off him.
Took $50 off him. I absolutely love that.
And I reckon Stevie J would love too that there's actually now the kicks named after him, the Stevie J snap. And they've actually changed the rules where you can actually have a snap after the siren now. I bet he'd be loving that. We didn't get the chance to ask him, but I'm sure he loves having a style of kick named after him.
And yeah, if you want to... Sorry, I'm 70% fit, Joey.
That's why I wanted to ask the question. We know Buddy's underdone. 70% fit Buddy Franklin. You look at it two ways. It's scary, isn't it, that he did what he did last night at 70%. As I said, significant surgery after Christmas, only been running for a few weeks. Most players could not have any impact on a game of football, except we know he's a freak, bud, and that just proves it again that he is just one specimen.
Yeah, one to watch. If you want to catch up with that chat with Stevie J, you can head to the website triplem.com.au.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yes, plenty happening around Victoria this weekend. And, of course, in Adelaide tomorrow, the AFLW Grand Final will be played between the Crows and the Blues. It'll be live on Triple M at 1 p.m. We'll have a bit of a preview of that a bit later on in the hour. Melbourne Storm, our boys take on the Penrith Panthers tonight in Penrith. There was a lot of NRL results overnight. Our Melbourne Rebels take on Queensland after going to South Africa. Currently second in the Super Rugby Australian Conference, our Melbourne Rebels. So they're going well. And the cricket, the Sheffield Shield final currently on. It's rain delay at the moment, obviously, with the weather in Melbourne. But the Vics currently lead by 216 runs after they ripped through New South Wales, bowled them out for 121. Peter Siddle, on the verge of getting dropped, took 5 for 28. And James Pattinson, I want to ask you, Jay, whether he can get to the Ashes, took 3 for 30 and was seriously bowling some heat. As well as that, Australia played in the fourth one-day last night against Pakistan. They won again. So that's 7 straight wins in the one-day internationals for the Aussies leading up to the World Cup. Our boy Glenn Maxwell made 98. And Steve Smith and Dave Warner's band officially ended yesterday. So they are now more than welcome to be part of the Australian team. What do you make of it all?
I'll tell you what, it's interesting with the Vics, and in particular Paddo, as you said, because I was watching the highlights last night, and he was bowling, as you said, with some serious heat. Like, New South Wales batsman just trying to come forward and play a defensive... Yeah. You know, a defensive block, a shot, that shot, and Paddo was taking out their off peg. He was too quick for them.
Yep.
So now you have to think with Stark and Cummins, of course, as well. Hazelwood bowls on the spot. If Pattinson can get, you know, the consistency in his body, the fitness up, you have to put him on the plane
to the
England.
Ashes.
Yep. And then that is a serious bowling combination, particularly with the juke ball. It swings around, a bit of moisture in the deck. They play green decks over there. So that gives you a lot of confidence that we can really take it up to the Poms and the Ashes.
And any word on Steve Smith and Dave Warner? What's going to happen with first the one-day side and the Ashes? Do they both just step straight in and play? Does one of them, or do they only play Ashes, not the one-dayers, or vice versa?
On talent, yes, they do step straight in. It all depends on the camaraderie in the locker room.
Yep.
This, for me, I mean, I think Steve Smith just walks straight in. I don't think there's any problems there. But Dave Warner was the one that has lots of work to do, doesn't he? I mean, interesting, throughout the week we read the reports that the bowlers were so furious with the way Davey Warner handled everything, you know, during Sandpaper Gate, that they weren't going to play with him and the team. And obviously he didn't play, but it just shows you there was a big bridge to cross to get back on the same page.
So did Cricket Australia consult the current playing group and ask them their thoughts on whether or do they make the decision without the players and say, well, we'll make the call, the coach will make the call and the selection committee? Or do they have to consult the players?
Have to absolutely go to the players. Like, they have to be, they have to give the green light for him to come anywhere near that team. Because if there is, you know, I think there was a comment throughout the week from someone from Cricket Australia said, well, you don't have to be best mates to play cricket together. Well, bloody helps.
Yeah, it
doesn't
does.
It?
Yeah, it does. Certainly.
You would know better than me.
8 hours a day. Yeah.
Like, if there's any sort of divide, like, it's not going to work.
Yep.
You know, there's not going to be a happy camp. Yep. They have to, whatever issues they've still got, they have to thrash out, Joe. You live the professional sporting environment.
Yeah.
I mean, you would you agree?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's even more relevant in cricket. I mean, in football, there's 44 men in a locker room. You don't all have to be friends. In a cricket, you know, there's 11 of you in the rooms. You do need to have a pretty tight-knit group. So it will be interesting to see, Emma.
Absolutely. I mean, Steve Smith, a walk-up, he's going to be fine. But the story is going to be how Dave Warner assimilates back into that group and progresses his cricket in England in the next couple of months. Well, the AFLW Grand Final is tomorrow, 1 o'clock at Adelaide Oval. The Crows taking on the Blues. The Crows looking for their second premiership in 3 years. But, Joey, Adelaide, they started off their campaign with a loss, but honestly, they've been on fire and the team to beat ever since.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been awesome in the second half of the season, particularly the last 2 weeks. They've kicked 21 goals in the last 2 weeks, led by their superstar, Aaron Phillips, who is clearly head and shoulders the best player in the competition. She's just... I mean, she's the Dustin Martin or Nat Fyfe of the women's competition. She wins 20-odd touches as a midfielder, goes forward, hits the scoreboard, sets up her teammates. So when you've got the best player in the competition and probably two of the other top 5 or 10 in Chelsea Randall and Ebony Marinov, that's what's made them so good this year, the Crows. They were one of the favourites going into it, obviously won the premiership in the first year in 2017. The surprise packets, though, have been Carlton, who, as we know, did win the Wooden Spoon last year. Daniel Harford's come in and taken over, and he's really changed the look of the Carlton side. And they are going to be the underdogs, the Blues, but you never know in football. You never know what can happen. Carlton will go in with a bit of confidence and see if they can cause an upset.
Well, tell us about that, Joey. I mean, Daniel Harford, coach of the year, he got the magic beans or the magic potion down there. How has he turned a team, which was Wooden Spooner, into a potential premier? What's been the changes?
Mainly Half decided that he wanted the girls just to play offensive football, play attacking, free-flowing football. Carlton were probably a team that were quite defensive in the first two seasons. They had a strong defensive structure, but just didn't hit the scoreboard. They didn't kick any goals. Yeah, it was a boring style, couldn't kick any goals. Now he's changed the look, and while they've always relied on Taylor Harris and Darcy Vesio as their stars up forward, they've introduced two new players who both played rugby sevens for the Australian team at the Olympics, Brooke Walker and Chloe Dalton. And they're just athletes. They're freaks. And they now play in the forward line and are just causing some mayhem with their speed and their skills. So that's added to it. And, of course, they've now got the best young player in the competition. She's already of the best players in the competition. Maddie Prasparkas, 18 years old. She's an absolute gun. And if more young talent like her come through, that's why AFLW is going to continue to grow and grow. She's an absolute superstar.
Do you think the conference system this year has worked? We're going to have four more teams joining the AFLW next year. And one of the challenges, as we spoke to Hamish McLaughlin, Gillen's brother, about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the biggest challenge for the AFL going forward is making sure that this competition continues to grow and thrive. Do you see that conference system taking place again next year, Joey, or just be an all-in, maybe, you know, 10-round competition? Oh,
I think my view, Emma, is they bought the conference system in a year early. They didn't need it this year. But what they were doing, my thoughts are, they were conditioning everyone to understand the conference system was going to be part of the future, because next year when you do have another four teams and you've got a 14-team competition and only able to play 7, 8, 9 games or whatever it is, you probably need that conference system. I think they bought it in a year early to try and condition the fans. It hasn't worked. We understand that. Carlton obviously technically finished fifth on the ladder if it was just one ladder. But you've got to try these things. This is the thing about AFLW, and I want people to be open-minded with. And it's like a bit like AFLX, Jay. You can try things in this format. You can try it, see what works, what doesn't. It's a new competition. It's not AFL men's. It's different. So I think they've got every right to try these things out. And the conference system next year will be more relevant when there's 14 teams and you're only playing maybe 7, 8, or 9 games.
Can they win the Blues?
They can. It's going to be a very tough ask. They're going to probably have to tag Erin Phillips and shut her out of the game, which is nigh on impossible.
She clearly the best player in the AFLW.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's a head and shoulders above anyone else. Adelaide going to go in full of confidence. They will be the red hot favourites, but Carlton will have a big chance.
But Adelaide by a bit. Is that Adelaide your tip at the end
by,
of the day?
Adelaide by about 19 points, I think. Yep.
Okay, that broadcast tomorrow on Triple M, the Crows up against Carlton at Adelaide Oval. Live on Triple M from midday, and then the bounce at 1 o'clock. But after 11, we'll chat to Supercars driver Cam Waters. He'll be taking part in the Supercars WD-40 Phillip Island Super Sprint between the 12th and 14th of April. Tickets from tickertech.com.au.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Just watching you then, Joey.
Yes.
It's something flicking on the TV behind me. I've never seen a man jump out of his chair and look more excited than you just did. What was that?
Rosie and I just got excited. We just saw that Married at First Sight ad come up for the final vows on Sunday, and they're all back. Innes comes back. They've got them all there. But what was more exciting is they're now going to show the vision of what they all got up to during the series, and they're going to embarrass them. Right. So it shows Jessica trying to hit on everyone and all this sort of stuff. So it's getting towards the end, Rosie. It's very exciting.
Very exciting.
Can't wait.
So is that tomorrow night?
Sunday night. I can't believe you two don't watch Married at First Sight. You must be like the only two people in Australia that aren't watching it.
I would rather rearrange my sock drawer.
Rather go to freedom, as you said earlier.
Hey, Emma, you're pregnant, of course. You're getting to the home stretch. How are things coming along?
About 7-8 weeks to go,
right.
So not long. Yep. I've definitely got, as you can see, the basketball look about me. I'm all baby out front, which is, it's good, but it's also like the shoelaces are getting quite difficult. if something drops on the ground, like it's absolutely dead to me nowadays. Yep. Because I can't bend down here. But on Monday night, Charlie and I attended our first prenatal class.
Oh, how was
that? So you go to the hospital and you learn all about, you know, the birth and what's got to happen and, you know, how to remain calm. I actually weirdly enjoyed it, and so did Charlie. I know that's really unusual, but the midwife who took the class, she was an absolute legend, and I actually walked away less, I guess, frenetic and stressed and more calm, which is probably the aim of those classes. Mm. Did you go to them, either of you two, when you had your firstborns?
Yeah. How long did you last, Joey?
We went for the first session, missed the second one, and then left halfway through the third. Well, it's one of those ones. You sort of,
you know what's going to happen. It's a baby.
Yeah, exactly right.
Just push it out.
Yeah. How'd you go, Joe? How'd you go?
No,
you're an expert now. You've got three kids anyway. You're an expert.
I could run the class, to be honest.
What would be rule number one?
Just hang on. Yeah.
We're just debating it before as well, what the ideal number of children is, and Jay has a very firm opinion.
It's not three.
poor Nash. Can't wait till Nash hears this when he's a bit older and like, Daddy said three. Three was too many.
It was a mistake.
Yeah. That's so true.
Oh, we love a giggle on a Saturday. Hey, up next, Supercars driver Cam Waters. I believe that Cam Waters is entering his fourth full-time Supercars season this year at the age of 24. In one of Ford's new Mustangs. The season just kicked off and he'll be at the Supercars WD-40 Phillip Island Super Sprint from the 12th to the 14th of April. Tickets from tickertech.com.au, and I'm glad to say he joins us on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Cam.
Morning.
Who's the team to beat this year? Is it you in your Ford Mustang, or are you fearing a bit more competition in the ranks?
Look, the Shell V-Power cars are quite fast, but we've had a really good start to the year as well, which is it's been really positive. We didn't have the best year last year, so yeah, it's really good to kick off with a few podiums.
Cam, you've got Tassie next week, and then you've got the iconic Phillip Island racetrack. Tell us, as a driver, what's it like driving around Phillip Island? Is it one of your favourite tracks? How does that go for you in the cars around there?
Yeah, Phillip Island's definitely a unique track, so you never know what the weather's going to throw at you that weekend. Obviously, Phillip Island on the coast, so yeah, really, really cool to drive. Going down the main straight, doing that 260, and you can see all the sea and stuff. So, yeah, really cool track, nice, fast and flowing.
Cam, I want you to concentrate on the road, mate. When I know there's picturesque views down there, but I just want you to focus on the
time. Surprised he has time to have a look.
I'll tell you what's amazing about your story, Cam. Incredibly, in 2011, you become the youngest ever driver to contest the Bathurst 1000. What does that make you, mate? 17? I mean, most youngsters don't have their licence at that age. Were you 17 when you did your first Bathurst?
Yeah, I think I was 17 and 1 month, so it was a pretty cool story. I got into it by winning a reality TV show and managed to get through that somehow and race at Bathurst with Grant Denyer. And at the time I had my L's, so it was weird.
Just
race the biggest race of the year, but you only got your L's.
Was this a math style sort of reality TV contest, Cam, or what sort of reality TV competition do you win?
There was 10 contestants and the prize was to win a race at Bathurst with Grant Denyer, and they picked kind of the best kind of young guys around Australia and I guess through the world, and somehow I managed to get through and win it. So, it was pretty cool.
Were you absolutely packing yourself driving around Bathurst? I mean, one of the toughest tracks going around. We know the history of it all. It's a massive endurance event and you're 17. How were you feeling throughout that?
It was a massive week and it went so fast. So I didn't really have time to work out how I was actually feeling at the time, but we rocked up there. We had, I think, one test day before. All practice was wet, so it makes it even more difficult. So it's one thing driving a supercar at Bathurst in the dry, but then when it's raining, it's even more treacherous. So, it was just a full-on weekend and a massive eye-opener.
That's a great story, Cam. And obviously, like most drivers, you probably started, or you did start out in the go-karts as a youngster. But coming from Mildura, how did you get into the go-karts and why? Was your dad a big car lover? How did you get into the go-karts as a kid?
Yeah, I kind of grew up around motorsport. Dad used to race Speedway and was involved in go-karts a little bit. And, obviously you grow up and you follow your family around and they're doing racing. So that's what you want to do. So, caught a go-kart when I was 6 or 7, and motorsport was quite big in Mildura region. So we've got the Kellys, drag kart, speedway riders, we got everything there. So, kind of fitted in quite well.
It's all happening in Mildura. Cam, who has been your motorsport hero over the years? Who do you aspire to live up to in your driving escapades?
It's kind of hard. I get asked that all the time, and I don't really have someone, but I guess growing up, I always watched Dad race speedway, and that's kind of why I got into kind of motor racing, I think. So early on, it would have been my dad. But then when I was going through the ranks, I always liked what Marcus Ambrose was doing, going overseas into NASCAR and stuff. So, they're probably the two.
We're speaking to Cameron Waters, a supercar driver. Cam, I love asking this question of the supercar drivers. What's your fitness regime like throughout the week, mate? How many sessions do you do on the treadmill or cross trainer? Or how fit are you, mate?
It always changes. So I probably do 6 sessions a week doing weights, and then I'd probably do 3 or 4 cardio sessions as well a week. So funny, I'm actually outside the gym now. I've been doing legs, so you've actually saved me.
Leg day.
Don't miss leg day.
Leg day.
So you're saving from leg day, which is good. Thank you.
Good on you, Cam. You'll be competing at the Super Sprint on Phillip Island on the 12th to the 14th of April. Tickets from ticketek.com.au. Great to have a chat, mate.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is a bit of a treat. The Rub coming up at 12 today, and how nice to have Billy Brownless in the studio
to say
good morning.
G'day, Em. How are you? Great to speak
with
you.
Bill.
Jay and Lee Royal. Joe, how are you?
Good, Bill. Come on.
Good. Hosemary. Hi. Don't you talk on this one. You talk on bloody
yeah, all right. Hi,
hot
Bill.
Breakfast.
Good morning.
You can't
shut
you up on the hot breakfast.
You.
Bill, we had Stevie J on before, a man you know very well, and this is what he had to say about some situations in Sydney that he's currently dealing with the Sydney Swans.
I'm hearing a little whisper that maybe you might have been asked to drop a few kgs as an assistant coach.
No, there's no request there, Joey. There's no request, but Horse and I have got on the diet, the 16 and 8, and I've actually dropped 4 or 5.
So right.
That's where it's come from.
Ah.
And I could probably send that through to you, Joey. Yeah,
please. Absolutely, Steve.
I was worried that I might be the player in our year, out of our year that retired, that might blow out the most, but I feel pretty happy with myself when I see you.
There's a few of us, don't worry.
What do you reckon?
Hey.
No, that's fair enough, because he had put on a bit of weight, no doubt about that, Stevie J, and Horse did say something to him.
The coach.
Also, Dean Cox, who is good friends with, assistant coach there at Sydney, he's ate a horse too, don't worry about that. So they both put on a little bit of weight, and they needed to shred a bit.
They have gone on a little diet.
Yes,
so.
They have, indeed.
We had Stewie Jew, the Gold Coast coach, come in for a bit of
diet too.
Informal.
Are you telling this story?
Informal. Chat at the Herald Sun.
Is that relevant to
and we unfortunately gave him one of the chair must have been broken
I wouldn't tell this story.
No, I'm just saying that I think we gave him a dodgy chair.
What happened?
I think we heard a crack.
It was a 150-year-old chair that
it's a very vulnerable chair. And
editor of chief sits in only.
We had to get him a new chair because that one was he didn't break it. I think it was already it might have been already.
Oh, you've just really covered yourself there.
Breaking news. How's your training regime going, Bill? I see you doing some stuff with Sam Wood. How's the diet? What's the plan?
Cute-looking bloke, Sam Wood. He was a bachelor.
He's a very handsome man.
Very. And I went out to see him and did a bit of boxing.
Yeah,
how'd you go? I was all right down low and uppercuts.
What happened when you get the arms above the head?
That's hard work, isn't it?
When you have to get the arms up there and you're pumping up high, no good at all. I blew up. Fair to say I blew up. But I'll go back again. He's a nice fellow out there at the wool shed. A woodshed, actually. It would be, wouldn't it?
Close.
Be woodshed, you idiot.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about your first birthing class too, Em. Oh, that's interesting. When you get all these new friends. Let me tell you, I've had four of them. I've been there twice. but you make all these new friends and they go through the whole lot with you and then you have baby parties and showers and all that. Fantastic.
Love it's nice to even get the advice from, my cohorts in here about... the birthing classes, but then you know what to expect later on when you've got one like Joey does, or the three that Jay has, or even four like you.
That's what happens.
Four.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we had the big blue over, which was interesting. Circumcision. Now that was a big blue because the dads all said no, he's like my dad and all that.
Yeah.
And then the girls going no, he's getting it circumcised. Yeah. It was on. Let me tell you, that was the biggest blue we had, Em.
I can't wait for mine. I'm thrilled for mine. Couldn't be more excited. Just
what, your circumcision?
Vasectomy.
Duck had one last week.
Just a... Put it final, just the end of it.
Yeah. Right, they rub built.
Let's move on.
Rub
well done, Joey. You've learnt.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, someone's learnt.
Saturday rub. Who you got on the show? It's always good fun.
Josh, Bruce from St Kilda. We're going to have a chat to him.
Before the game.
Well, that's it. They play at 4:35. We're going to have a chat to Josh. Right. He was very good last week.
He was very good.
And your side. And also...
Tex Walker.
He'll be happy.
Well, you and Jimmy Hurd, so he's coming on from 4 to do the Essendon St Kilda game, it's a huge match. So you'll be there for that to sit next to Hurdy, won't you, Billy? Or
One of these have got to go. Yeah. Jim and BT.
Well, they're probably in.
Yeah, they're calling.
They'll be there.
So the duck or me? Who do you reckon goes?
Who's getting the lemon and sauce?
Oh no,
you're not going, are you?
Oh, Bill,
you're
out, sorry, darling.
Lemonade and sauce.
Drop to the Magoos.
For James Hurd, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll go down and watch the Cats, actually. Yeah. I'll go down to G-Town. That's a big game, isn't it?
Calling that game tonight for Triple M.
How do you think Jimmy will be feeling about calling the Bombers first up?
He'll be nervous.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Especially if they start losing. How hard does he go? What does Hurdy do?
Because he hasn't actually gone back to the Bombers yet, has he?
No, he's been at the club. Yeah, they're welcome. They've shook hands and kissed babies. They've done all that sort of stuff. Everyone's feeling very happy about
it. You know he's selling chocolate in supermarkets?
Yeah, he is.
What do you mean?
That's what he was doing when he first came back. He had this lovely chocolate, and he was in supermarkets. You go along and there's Cabana, and you have a bit of that or some
it's
bread.
Always the Cabana, yeah.
And then there's Hurdy there with his chocolate stand.
Free tasting.
What will be really interesting is to hear his analysis, interpretation of the game. Like, just get the sharpness of his football IQ, because everyone at Essendon says he's an absolute gun in his strategy and his tactics. So I reckon we'll get a real taste
than you would have.
With Bill, what are you saying?
Yeah, this is rough.
In-depth analysis.
Oh,
Hey, just take it as a nice rest, you know. Sit yourself on the bench, Bill, and you'll be back fresh for next week, okay?
Prime Minister for morale, Billy.
I'm a decoy again.
The Rub straight after us with JB, BT, Wayne Carey, Billy Brownless and Damien Barrett, followed by Essendon, taking on St Kilda from Marvel Stadium this afternoon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We spoke about Mason Cox a little bit earlier and being dealt that one match suspension from the MRO. He will face the tribunal later in the week. What's the latest, though, Jay, on social media?
Yes, and well, Joey and I, we said it off the top. We both agree. We think Mason Cox will get off at the tribunal. Well, big Scotty Cummings, a great man, has weighed in on Twitter. He says, ha, 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 come on, Chriso. We've all had a good laugh now. Well played, but call Mason Cox and tell him you are just taking the piss. Good one, mate. Hashtag got us nicely. Hashtag almost fell for it. So the big man, Scotty Cummings, also believes that Chriso's had a mare here. And well, we expect the big pie to be cleared when Collingwood challenges on Tuesday night at the tribunal.
Let's talk about Jack Riewoldt, the other big story out of the game on Thursday night. He is out with a wrist complaint for up to 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's a big concern for the Tigers, really, because they've already lost Alex Rance, the defender of a generation. He's out for the season with a knee. And we saw on Thursday night against the Pies, Jack Riewoldt land awkwardly, and he's been diagnosed as having a small crack, Joey. But also, there's some tendon damage, a ruptured tendon. Now, for me, that is the bigger issue here, because that's likely to need surgery at some point to fix. That may not heal by itself. So while the bone will, you think that tendon could cause him grief. It's going to be pretty sore for the rest of the season, Joe.
So what you're saying, it still might only be a 4 week that he'll miss with his break, but he'll be playing in pain, you think, for the majority of the year until he gets surgery.
And Jack Riewoldt was the number one pressure player of all the key forwards last year. So he throws himself around, he gets involved on the defensive end. That was the whole Richmond brand, wasn't it? Which swept them to the flag in 2017. But so alarmingly, after two games this year, they are ranked second last for pressure. So that brand, that Richmond stamp on the game, that way they turn over the footy, has gone totally out the door, Joe. And what we saw on Thursday night was Collingwood's uncontested kicking, that pinpoint kicking at the back half, really try and pick their way through that.
What are your thoughts on Dustin Martin over the last couple of weeks, speaking of pressure and tackling, Joey?
Well, that's what I was just going to pick up on Jake's point. All of a sudden, Richmond, as you said, were known for that. Now with Tom Lynch in that forward line, along with Jack Riewoldt, and when Dusty Martin spends more time down there, we know it's not his greatest strength, his pressure. They lose a bit of that pressure.
The heat.
But also what's happened, Emma, is this is what happens if you have the same game plan. Teams are able to pick it apart. Everybody now knows what you need to do against Richmond, and that's keep the ball off them. Don't allow their pressure game to get involved and get after them.
So what did you say the Pies do?
So the Pies took all those uncontested marks. I think it was the fifth most marks ever recorded in a game of football since Champion Data have been doing the stats. Richmond just are very, very good when the ball's on the ground and getting after the opposition. But there's a blueprint, and I think it happened in a few games last year for the Tigers too. So you've got to keep evolving in this game. You can't just rely on the same game plan to continue to get wins, because teams always go to work, go to school, they adjust and improve. And
so it's
maybe
a blueprint now.
It's
for
a blueprint
now.
That's what you try and do against Richmond. You kick the ball, don't allow their small forwards to get after you with pressure. Take the mark. You can't mark. You can't tackle if you've got a mark.
And great call from Chris Judd in the commentary on Thursday night. He picked this, I think, in the first or second quarter. I laughed. He said, Confucius say, cannot tackle man who mark ball.
And that is spot on. Yep. So Richmond there, I know they've got injury concerns, but also they're going to have a look at the way they play, because once you're the top team, teams go to school on you and work out ways to try and beat you.
On Thursday night, Jordan DeGoey was absolutely sensational with that bag of five. And on your podcast with Scott Pendlebury during the week, Jay, you had Jordan on.
Yep.
He was a real surprise packet. Yep. I was really impressed.
I loved it, because we never get anything from him in the media. He doesn't do interviews. He's sort of a very private person. That's fine. But when he sat down, myself and Scotty Pendlebury, he talked brilliantly, really opened up for an hour. And he was particularly candid about a massive offer North Melbourne made.
Nah, probably the only time I thought was when, you know, my manager on the phone said, oh, North have upped their offer and you know, it's $1 million. And I kind of said, oh, like, you know, $1 million for whatever. And he's like, yeah, $1 million a year for 5 years. And that's when I was kind of like, oh, shit. Like, that's, you know, if you think money, of terms of money, like as a, what was I, 22-year-old going, you know, like.
It's handy.
You know, everyone wants to be a millionaire, don't you?
It's certainly good coins. Joe, did you say last week or the week before that you thought Geordie could be one of the top five players in the game. And we
by the end of the season.
And we saw him absolutely tear a new one on the other night.
That's just because that's just the potential that he has, and the style of play suits the way the game is played now. And I've said this publicly a number of times, that the best players in the competition now are the Nat Fifes, the Dustin Martins, the Dangerfields, the Cripps, the guys that are so strong around the ball but can also push forward and kick goals. And Dugowie, at the moment, he's playing more forward than in the midfield because he can't get in there. But he is dynamite. He's a match winner. And I certainly think he can be a top 10, top 5 player by the end of the season.
One knows what she's talking about.
Blow my own trumpet for a little second.
One thinks he does.
Wow.
And the other has no idea.
I felt a bit left out.
It's the Dead Set Legends Best Bets.
Yes, this is the part of the show where we try and find you a winner. And Em, congratulations. Unsurprisingly, you
Thank you very much. You
filled our pockets last week. What was it again? 50 each way on...
He's Eminent, who ran in the Randvit, and he was paying about $4 the place. So, you know, my $50 turned into $200 just with a place bet.
Well, you're leading, unsurprisingly. You're on at $680, and Joey, probably even more unsurprising. You and I are bringing up the rear, mate. I'm on $280. You're on $260. But I see you've got a little note down there written in red pen, which you seem pretty confident about.
Yeah, what I've realised, I've got to change my tactic. I've been greedy. Because I get competitive with the leaderboard, and I want to get like one big win to jump well ahead, and I'm like, I'm not helping the punters by just getting a win. Sometimes
you've
got to
take
the easy one. That's what Ross Lyon would say. Take the easy one. Don't get greedy. Don't bite off more than you can chew. So I've gone back to basics today. In the Vinery Stud Stakes at Rose Hill in race 6, there's a horse called Very Elegant.
Oh,
you know
this
that,
is
Emma.
Tough. You know why? Because I'm going the same race, so it's a shootout.
Oh, different horse though.
No, different
horse.
Oh,
good, good. Because Very Elegant will win. It's the favourite. It used to be trained by Darren Weir. It's now with Chris Waller. $2.30. It loves the wet track. It swims. They call it Ian Thorpe, this horse. It just loves, it swims. So it'll win. So Very Elegant, race 6, number 3.
I love that you've done this because I've also gone to Rose Hill today in the Vinery Stud Stakes over 2,000.
Oh, yes.
I am having 50 each way on the number 1 Nikita Jane, who is made for getting over the 2,000 metres. She's at about 550 at the moment. Maybe might, I don't know what you'll get the place by the time they jump, but won't be much. That's all right, though. I'm happy just to chip along.
Yep.
Up against the favourite, Very Elegant. I know this, but Nikita Jane is a star of the future. Untried in the wet. I'm just hoping they haven't had too much rain up in the Harbour City in the last 24 hours.
Real shootout between the two racing experts
here. I like it.
Yeah. Now, as we know, I've really got no idea. When it gets to the Spring Racing Carnival, I just basically bet on whatever my mates bet on. So I'll go with my normal thing, and that is I'll have Willie Pike, the West Australian jockey. He's riding Midnight Sky in the last. So Willie Pike in the last race, race 9 at Ascot. I'll have 100 on the nose there. I think Midnight Sky is paying about $370. So the Get Out Stakes. Let's hope that that Willie can weave some magic for us, because he has been a bit out of form over the past month. The punters have sort of burnt up a little bit about.
I told you the pressure that you've put on him by having to ride these winners. It's, he starts feeling the pressure.
We came to it all went wrong for him after he came to Melbourne. He came here and then he's been on a dry
got
spell.
Got suspended and then had to go back home and just lost a bit of confidence and form.
He's back.
Let's just blame Jay. Come on, it's a very easy game. Yes. It's all your fault.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Yes, my give me a spell goes to the commentators and media journalists or ex-players that last night got in their high horse about this 100-metre penalty that the Sydney player Colin O'Riordan gave away. Everyone tweeting in, it's a farce, it's a disgrace. Do you know what? The actual rule is a good rule. The reason why the AFL brought it in is they want the player that gets the 50-metre penalty to not be impeded, trying to play on fast, create some space and get the game moving and open, which is what we want. The farce, Jay, are the players that don't understand the rules. It's pretty simple. If you get caught behind the man that's taken off for the 50-metre penalty,
what do you do?
Or you get any space, get out of the way. Just get out of the way and let someone else take the mark. It's actually very, very easy, and no one should ever give away a 100-metre penalty in the game. So it's not the rule that it's the farce. It's the players that simply don't understand the rule. And O'Riordan three times last night was told by the umpire, get out of the way, get out. He didn't. He kept trying to get in front of the player and gave away a 100-metre penalty. Don't blame the rule. Blame the stupid players that don't follow the rules and understand it. Give me a spell.
Holy jolly.
It's not the rule.
Right, but Joey, what do you do if you get caught behind?
Yeah, get out of the way.
But if you've got to hand over the mark to someone downfield.
That's the whole idea of the rule.
Yes, but then that man has to leave. Your teammate has to leave the forward to take the mark.
That's the idea of the rule. That's exactly what the AFL wanted.
But no,
so then open the game up. So don't give away a 50-metre penalty in the first place. And if you do and you're caught behind, get out of the way. But don't blame the rule. It's the players that it's a simple rule to follow. If you're caught behind the player, get out of the way. You can't try and run in front of him. It's pretty simple.
Joey's going to spell Steve
Hockey. Oh, take a deep breath, big guy.
AFL spokesman style over here.
I thought all the journalists that are blaming the rule, it's a good rule. So don't we want the game to open up? If you give away a 50-metre penalty, open the game up. The player that is rewarded with the 50 that gets it, he can then play on and do what he wants. It's not the guy on the man on the mark's responsibility to get in the way. Get out of the way.
Joey, we were blindsided by your new job at Fremantle when you became the technical king. Are you also, have you a little role with the AFL?
No. Yeah, I think we want the game to be open and free-flowing. And then when a player tries to block it up and all that, we say, oh, the rule's a joke. Right. No, it's not.
Now,
give me a spell.
Yeah, give me a spell. Like, this is a...
Sorry about that. I wanted to get that
off. That was one of the biggest ones I've ever seen.
Thanks,
that was
Emma.
A blow-up.
It was frustrating. Or something like that.
Bothered me last night seeing people blaming the rule. The
poor Aaron at home with you.
In the Triple M studio here, the oxygen bag is just dropped for Joey because it's detecting that his heart rate has maxed out. Give me a spell. Of course, Michael Christian. I know you're a good friend of mine. I like you so much, mate. But fair dinkum, the 1 week suspension for Mason Cox for just the gentle bump into old mate Dylan Grimes. You hit the ground like a sack of spuds. Give me a spell. That doesn't deserve one match. You know that's going to get challenged, and we'll get off. Chriso, just get your backyard and these rules and suspensions sorted, mate, because it's been a bit all over the place.
Okay, give me a spell.
Easy target.
Mine's a common man or woman one. Just this news this week that we shouldn't be calling cyclists anymore. I don't know if you saw this news.
What?
But apparently, if we call cyclists, we're dehumanising them and we're making them not have feelings and they're not actually human. So we need to call them people on bikes.
This isn't serious.
Oh,
is
my God.
Give me a spell.
That's not
this
rule.
Is for
That's
real.
Not real.
Nah.
That is for real. It's a survey from researchers coming from the Queensland University of Technology and the Monash University as well, found that there was a link between the dehumanisation of cyclists and acts of aggression towards them.
This
give
is
me
not a real
spell.
Thing.
Give
that,
me a spell.
What is going wrong with what? We have lost the plot.
Don't get me started.
We have lost the plot.
Joey, bring us
don't
some positive news.
Let's change the tone of this.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
Shout out, Dead Set Legend of the Week goes to Ash Barty, our little tennis player. Yes. She's now broken into the top 10.
Of course she is.
First tennis player, Australian tennis player, so to break into the top 10 since Sam Stosur back in 2011. Yep. She's doing us proud. While the men continue to cause trouble, Ash Barty is on her. And she's in a final, the Miami Open final this weekend. So good on her, Ash Barty. She's our Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Well done, Ash. And if anyone happens to find my wallet on that train service from Southern Cross to Flinders Street Station about 8:30 this morning, you will be the Dead Set Legend
next
week.
Good one. We'll give them a plug next week.
With that
$1. We'll get them on the show if they can give you a wallet back.
Yep. Hey, don't forget, if you've missed anything from the show earlier, you can listen back on the Triple M app or head to the website, triplem.com.au. We'll see you next weekend, Saturday, 10 o'clock, Dead Set Legends.